And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala is related that in his masjid, some of his students and companions observed that there comes a man occasionally and stays in the masjid, back in the masjid, behind a column of the masjid, sariya min al-masjid, and does not address anybody. It's all, he sits there and he's in some form of ibadah. Then they told that to Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala. And then he replied to them, please next time when he comes and you see me, please show him to me. How many know of Al-Hasan al-Basri? Raise your hands. Okay, some know. Al-Hasan al-Basri was a tabi'i scholar of beauty in every aspect. And I'm not exaggerating. I say of beauty in everything that Allah gave him. In the way he looked, and in the way he looked inside. And in his ilm, and in all the gifts that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to human beings besides the Anbiya. To the extent that it was said about him, when we see Al-Hasan al-Basri, we remember, we are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see Al-Hasan al-Basri, we immediately turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. His presence puts us into that frame of heart. And he was the tabi'i scholar by excellence of Al-Basra in those days. So when the man came and they saw Al-Hasan al-Basri, they told him, Ya Aba Sa'id, his kunya was Abu Sa'id, that is the man. So he went to him and kindly and gently addressed him and said to him, Malaka ya hadha, la tajlisu ma'an nas. Why don't you sit in the company of other people when you come? Why are you always sitting here alone? He replied to him, Amrun shaghalni ani nas. Amrun shaghalani ani nas. A matter that kept me away from being concerned about people. A concern that kept me away from people. He said, okay then, what keeps you, ما يمنعك من أن تجلس مع ذلك الرجل الذي يدعى الحسن? And it is he who is speaking to him. He said, then, what prevents you from going and sitting with that man that people know, Al-Hasan, and to also sit in his halqa, to sit with him? He replied to him, أَمْرٌ شَغَلَنِي عَنِ النَّاسِ وَعَنِ الْحَسَنِ. A matter that, a concern that kept me away from both people and Al-Hasan. And then he inquired from him, please, what is it that keeps you concerned and away from people and from Al-Hasan? He replied, إِنَّنِي أُصْبِحُ وَأُمْسِي بَيْنَ نِعْمَةٍ وَذَنْبٍ. Proposition number one. إِنَّنِي أُصْبِحُ بَيْنَ وَأُمْسِي بَيْنَ نِعْمَةٍ وَذَنْبٍ. Every day from the time I wake up till the time I retreat in the evening, I live in between two states. Observing, that is, the bounties and the grace of God upon me. The ni'mah of Allah. And number two, mushahadatu, that is, observing my own ذنب, in contrast. every moment of my life is comprised always of one of two things, or of one and the second. A ni'mah from Allah and a dhanb from me. SubhanAllah. A ni'mah from Allah, a grace from Allah, a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. Shall I count the gifts of Allah Azza wa Jal or not? Anyone needs for me to count the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal on you? On you? On me? Shall I count it? Shall I? Answer me. Answer me. I can't. Innumerable. The air you breathe, the eyes you have, the nose you have, the tongue you have, the hands I have, the knowledge I have, you have, the parents you have, the wealth you have, the spouses you have, the children you have, the life you have, the hair you have, the health you have. I cannot count. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. I live between ni'mah. Every second I am in ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And yet, I also, he said, know my dhanb every day. So, he said, I decided to fill up my time between these two. Ni'mah, I respond in shukr. For the ni'mah, I must live in gratefulness and thankfulness of Allah Azza wa Jal. I must be in constant shukr of Allah's ni'am, because His ni'am are constant, uninterrupted. And I must be in constant istighfar from my heart and with my tongue from my dhanb, my aggressions, my transgressions, my sins, my disobedience. And as I have mentioned earlier, my brothers and sisters, hafizakumullah, the more my heart becomes cleansed and sensitive, the more I know of sins that otherwise I didn't know of before. It's like I call this a spirit meter. If you have a thermometer that starts at 10 degrees, will the thermometer detect 5 degrees? Will the thermometer detect 0 degree? Will that thermometer detect minus 2? No. But the more sensitive that thermometer, the more it is able to detect finer and finer temperatures. So if my qalb, my spirit meter, is coarse, is not properly cleansed, I will not detect certain wrongdoings of mine, certain sins of mine, certain transgressions of mine, because it's coarse. So the more I know of my dhunub, the more I'm in istighfar, the more I'm in istighfar, the more I'm in shukr, what happens to my heart? The cleaner it becomes. The cleaner it becomes, the more I discover of finer dhunub. The more I'm in shukr, the more I'm in istighfar, the more I discover ni'am, finer ni'am that I didn't think about them to be ni'am. Does he have the time to do anything else? That's why he said, that's why I'm alone. I don't have time, in other words, for anything else. Is there time for anything else? I'm going to close with this story for today's morning session. I forgot also his name. He relates a story in which he said, I was traveling in those days, centuries ago. I was traveling across the some mountains in Sham, these days Syria, Palestine, and so on, Lebanon, Jordan, all of that was part of Sham somewhere. And he said suddenly I peeked and there was a movement, and there was a man who seemed to be living there, and when he saw me, he hid himself behind a tree. And this man who's narrating the story was of the Salihun. And then perhaps he realized that this is something special, and his heart immediately realized that this is a Salih, this is a righteous man. And then because he told him, لِمَاذَا حَرَمْتَنِي مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَيْكَ, why do you deprive me from the delight of looking at you? Because looking at a salih is good for the heart. It's good for the eyes too. And then he told him, he said, I have spent years and years and years of my life struggling and combating my nafs in order for it to find solace in Allah and not in any being, and not in human beings in particular. And my struggle continued for years and years, and most of my life was spent trying to get rid of this distracting connection that my heart has with the world, with people, the need for them. And I've been struggling not to have rather that solace and that peace with Allah alone. And again, it continued for years, and it continued, and it wouldn't be there. I was still in a state of mujahada. Then one day I turned to Allah Azza wa Jal earnestly after those many, many years, and I said, Ya Allah, Allahumma la taj'al hazzi fi ayyami, aw la taj'al hazzi min ayyami fi mujahadati nafsi. He finally said, Ya Allah, please, don't let my soul fruit, or my soul share in the rest of my days be in struggling and struggling to attain this peace. In other words, please, give me that peace with you. Let my heart not be always in constant battle. Some of us will be like that until we die. Hopefully, if one dies like that, Allahu Akbar. But at one point, after this many, many, many decades in this case of struggle, he turned to Allah, he said, and I said, Ya Allah, لا تجعل حظي من أيامي في مجاهدة نفسي. And then he said, and Allah Azza wa Jal responded to my call and granted sakina to my heart and granted my qalb the solace in his presence, and finally not only the ability but the sweetness and the delight of being away from the creatures of Allah, and especially human beings. Finally my heart is at peace. And then when I saw you, I was afraid that I will be turned, that I will return backwards to that original state of combat and exertion about which I asked Allah Azza wa Jal to save me from and to give me something else. Khalwa, my brothers and sisters, the benefits of it are real. The benefits of it are real. Yes, there are levels of khalwa. There are levels of khalwa. There are states of khalwa. And if one realizes or gets to the point, alhamdulillah, that when through dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal and through fikr in the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the af'al of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the also deeds of the individual and the qalb of the individual, if the person through that reaches a level of uns billah Azza wa Jal, alhamdulillah, which he or she does not have when with people, then that individual should continue in that khalwa. Because the ultimate purpose behind ibadat, the ultimate purpose behind doing things in ibadat, in with people or without people, ghayatul ibadat wa thamaratul mu'amalat, and the desired fruit, the desired fruit from interacting with others is that one dies and يموت الإنسان محبا لله عارفا بالله. I don't think you would disagree. The ultimate purpose of ibadah, the most desired fruit of mu'amala, of interacting with the world, for a mu'min, is to die while his or her qalb is in a state of hubb of Allah, of God. That your qalb, not your tongue, your qalb is in hubb with Allah Azza wa Jal, is in tranquility and peace with Allah Azza wa Jal, and therefore in hubb for Allah Azza wa Jal. And number two, that person dies while his or her qalb is in ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At some desirable degree. And that one's qalb is filled with profound knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate purpose is to die that way, because in dying that way, we enter into the other world, the other existence, and we are in real nearness and presence of the divine being. Without it, there cannot be that nearness in the day of judgment, in the hereafter, with Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does it make sense? And therefore, I am afraid, Allah knows, that every day if I die, I die while my heart is agitated, is restless, is distracted, is not desirous, does not long for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I'm taken faj'a, I'm taken abruptly while in a state of ghafla. That I die in a state of ghafla, state where I'm not somehow focused on Allah Azza wa Jal and focused on something else, like my wealth and my furniture and my reputation and my entertainment and so on. What a loss, what a pain, Allah knows. And there can be no mahabba of Allah Azza wa Jal without finding uns in Allah Azza wa Jal. When you find your tranquility and your inner peace and your joy, that's what you love. If you don't find that uns, you will have no hub for Allah, truly. Maybe there's superficial hub. Every mu'min has to have some type of hub, at least for Allah Azza wa Jal, otherwise there is no iman at all. But that hub that brings me nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal cannot be there if there is no uns. And there is no uns, there could be no uns if there is no continuous dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't دوام ذكر الله عز وجل. And there would be no دوام ذكر الله عز وجل without constancy of ذكر, without what? Without تفرغ. Right? Without freeing oneself for that. And there will be no تفرغ without. You tell me. Without خلوة. There will be no معرفة. معرفة of Allah عز وجل also. There will be no معرفة without continuous profound reflection. Because as we established earlier, I may have a piece of knowledge, but I do not have clarity in that knowledge. I do not have depth in that knowledge. I do not have ma'rifa in that knowledge. I do not have even before that thubut in that knowledge. The knowledge that I have will be a transient knowledge. I forget it soon anyways. It is not deeply rooted in me. It is not steadfast in me. It is not clear in my mind and in my heart. It is not profound in my mind and in my heart. I don't have that about things that I know because usually I don't take time to reflect on them. دوام الفكر, to meditate and to reflect. You need to reflect on something like you need in the intellectual world to reflect on the meaning of an equation, the analysis of it, the synthesis of it, the consequences of it, in order for you to understand it well, as a scholar should be, should do. So if the data that I have, the knowledge that I have, I do not reflect on it, لا أتدبرها ولا أفكر فيها ولا أداوم في ذلك, فلا يمكنني أن أحصل على ثبوت ذلك في قلبي. ثبوت العلم وحصول المعرفة لا يتمان إلا أيضا بالتفرغ لذلك, ولا يكون التفرغ إلا بالخلوة. So that the type of reflective reasoning, that type of meditation on what I know does not occur if I do not take time for it, if I do not free myself for it, free from distractions, from thinking here and thinking there, and my mind and my heart are shattered in so many directions. I cannot focus my heart and my mind. And if I am not in khalwa, that will not happen the way it should be. And again, we come back to the importance of khalwa in terms of achieving a heart with mahabba of Allah Azza wa Jal, and achieving a heart with ma'rifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ultimately, inshallah, dying in that state which will transfer to akhirah. Because the person whose qalb does not reach uns with Allah Azza wa Jal, as we said earlier, will not be able to attain uns in qabr. Remember that. And simultaneously, similarly, the person who attains uns inside of his or her qalb in this dunya, death will not efface that uns. Why? Because death does not efface the state of the qalb, true or false. What does death efface? It effaces the physical dimension of the abd. The physical qalb will also disintegrate. But that qalb that we are talking about when we speak of these matters, that qalb is what comes to Allah. Remember, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And that which is inside, in inverted commas, that qalb will remain and will come with you and me to the barzakh and to akhirah. So the uns, if found in dunya with Allah Azza wa Jal, will transfer in akhirah as well. And death will not erase it. Allahumma ja'alna minhum, ya Rabb. And these are, inshallah, some of the benefits, and I will share with you more of them, inshallah ta'ala, of khalwa. and that will be for us motivations in order to be in خلوة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.